morning, Pop Chasers, and happy March 22nd, you guys. I cannot believe we are almost to April, and I am joined by none other than a friend of the pod, a fan of, by many of you are fans of her, and that would be my friend Kelly, who is back again. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, I'm a fan of the pod. That's what you should say. A friend of the pod, a fan of the pod.
You are. I didn't want to put words into your mouth, and I knew you would say it.
I'm saying it.
Yeah. I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. I feel like there was like a warm weather burst across the country. So we're feeling springy, like spring has sprung. What's your favorite like spring activity, Kelly?
Well, I think my favorite spring activity has to be drinking Sauvignon Blanc.
Savvy B.
Like, it really just comes back like an old friend, you know, like,
right.
It's like that first sip of Pinot Noir when it's cold out and you're having like a pasta, but it's just elevated. So That's my favorite spring activity.
I was never really like a big wine person. And then in college we had wine nights, and that was like some real bullshit wine. It was like, I don't want to call anyone out, but I think it was like Woodbridge. What was it?
Moscato,
which is just a dessert wine. So like you got fucked up by it. You had a hangover within an hour of even popping the bottle, and you would drink a bottle by yourself for $9.99. And this was at a bar. Then after that, I was like, I'm not much of a wine person. But then when I moved to New York, I was like, I should be like Olivia Pope and start drinking red wine. So I started forcing myself to drink red wine, and then I fell off the white wine. Then I lived with a roommate, my friend Rachel, who got me into Sauvignon Blanc. And I have to say, like, there is nothing like a crisp, like when it is cold in the glass and the glass starts to condensate. And I'm going to tell you guys a little secret. You don't need to buy an expensive Sauvy B. The best Sauvy B is Oyster Bay. And it
Oyster Bay, baby.
Is so fucking good. And I wish I had a glass right now.
I have one in my fridge. I have a bottle in my fridge.
Chilling. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I do like a Kimmy C Sauvy B, an old Kim Crawford, but you know, she doesn't do it like Oyster Bay.
Mm-mm. She doesn't. And it's like $14.99 nationally. So like you can get away with that one and you can bring that to a dinner party, you guys, and people will be like, this is a great wine. It's light. It's crisp. I'm not a big rosé person. That's like kind of like, I feel like not a popular opinion, but I think we overdid it. I think we oversold rosé. And I'm just telling you guys, it's all about the Oyster Bay.
And I was just going to say, snowballing off of your Oyster Bay obsession, they do make a rosé now and it's
not good. No, it's like stick to what you know, as they say in High School Musical. Kelly, it's been a while since you've been on. A lot has happened, but I feel like the biggest thing that I'm thinking about is Summer House. And now we've seen the episode from Monday night, and it is Lindsay Palooza still. And first of all, thoughts on a 35-year-old woman having such a birthday party?
I mean, I couldn't think of a more on-brand display for her, really. I think that it was absolutely perfect for what she is as a person. And that's honestly, it's a bigger issue for me. I don't get people that are obsessed with their birthday to the point where they need everybody to stop dead in their tracks and celebrate, especially when it's a random, I mean, 35, I guess, could be a little bit of a milestone, but
it's a reach.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel that way about people who make their birthdays into like birthday weeks or even worse, months. If you're saying it's my birthday month, I'm assuming you're turning 10, and it's never somebody who's turning 10. And that's the problem.
It's a big problem. And I'm all for a reason to celebrate. I'm a girl who loves a theme. I can get behind those things. But when it is somebody who year after goddamn year celebrates their birthday to the nth degree, it just is.
I know.
It's not it for me.
I mean, when you have Kyle Cook in the house who has destroyed properties for his birthday, and this year had just an elegant rooftop special guest, his sty.
That was disgusting. And that's coming from somebody who had like a chronic sty for a year. So.
Yeah, I remember that. I just think that like, I love a birthday too. When I turned 30 this year, I had a party. I threw a party and it was so fun. But
so fun.
I just think that like, and also it just never ended. And I'm not talking about how it lasted two episodes. It was that they were day drinking and then they night drank. And then when she was like, I want to go out, I was.
And it didn't, it's not even that it didn't end. It, she's been talking about her birthday for every episode.
I know.
So it's like, you need to stop. But honestly, I think that that just shows that she doesn't have a ton going on in her life. This is her thing.
Every person that she came across, she also told about her eggs.
So I'm not going to go off on a tangent on this because I think that we'll lose a few listeners. But just a little bit of background about me. I work in fertility, and what she is saying is completely and utterly inaccurate and a very poor display for viewers to think that what she's saying is actually truthful. It's horrible. And it gives me just the worst pit in my stomach every time she says 28-year-old eggs. It's wildly inappropriate and inaccurate.
Wow. I mean, she has told everyone, and then we've seen her say, I think it's like, that would be the drinking game if we were Watch What Happens Live. Like every time she says the number 28 or eggs. Okay. So I want to get your thoughts on this party because I thought it really rang true to me of like, cause we've both been, Kelly and I went to college together and people love a darty at a party school. And I partook in a day party once in a while. And when you decided to continue the partying into the evening, it wasn't uncommon for things to end the way people were. They just like rage arguing just for the sake of like being heard, just like to get, like, just to be felt like be told you were right. And that's exactly what happened at Lindsay's 35th birthday party. Also, I'm so sorry. Before we get into that, who had the most terrifying costume in your eyes?
Honestly, Lindsay herself.
I know.
I can never unsee those TITSs.
I can never unsee Amanda's eyes, the black eyeballs.
Oh my God. Yes. That was freaky.
That was so freaky. And no one was like addressing it while they were like in their pajamas. And I was like, she still has the contacts in and no one's saying anything. It's fucking weird. But yeah, I felt like them getting into this argument of like Sierra versus Lindsay with like all because of Austin, which is just like the most mind-boggling thing because Austin Kroll is, I've since described him, he is a human sock puppet. Like he looks like a sock puppet. You guys can never convince me otherwise. His voice is like nails on the chalkboard. And these girls who I think are probably pretty intelligent are like, they just like, they look like fucking clowns. And I hate to say that it's Women's History Month. Here I am. And I mean it though.
It's a terrible look, especially for Sierra.
I know. But okay. Where do you fall on Sierra versus Lindsay in terms of who is right? Who's wrong in this? Because I like Lindsay more than I like Sierra. I'm like, I should maybe side with Lindsay, but then I really do think that Lindsay knows what she's doing and is just doing it to piss Sierra off, which then I'm just kind of like, that's lame of you. Again, you're like 35, like move on. You've got a nice gentleman who is taking up residence at the fire pit outside with some dill pickle chips and a girl who's just, I swear to God, I said Mackenzie is just loitering at this point.
Literally. I don't know what she's doing.
The way I described her is, have you ever watched Arrested Development?
No.
Okay. So there's like one character played by Mae Whitman, who dates Michael Cera on the show. And she's just like always there. And, her name is Anne, but they call her Egg because she just has no personality. She's completely like devoid of any type of enthusiasm. And I felt like they were giving Mackenzie that edit when every time Carl was like, yeah, she's like really getting along with everyone. Like she embeds herself so easily and they just cut to her and she's just like standing there, like 1,000-yard stare. There's no one
home. Literally. Yeah, I don't really understand. I mean, obviously we know they don't stay together.
Yeah.
But I don't really get, I don't get her at all. I did think that, like, I couldn't stop thinking about Carl's bad breath after she said it. I mean, that just, like, lives rent free in my mind forever.
She was on Love Island US season 2, which I watched. Because
didn't people like hate her or something?
Yeah, she wasn't like very popular, but she left on like a good note, and she was way more personable on the show. I just feel like we're not getting a good bad look at it. Yeah, but yeah. Sierra Lindsay thing. So I'm like, I know that Lindsay's just doing this to get under Sierra's skin because she's smart. She's smart. She knows that Austin Kroll is a dumb boy, a beta. And she is just doing it to get under Sierra's skin. So that's why I get mad that Sierra's even letting it happen. Cause I'm like, girl, like, he's disgusting.
I expect more out of Sierra. I think that she is a gorgeous, professional, smart individual that's like letting this completely engulf her. And I just don't think that I expect more out of her.
Yeah. And I felt like I was like, just shut your mouth when she was like trying to get into it with Lindsay. Cause it was never gonna end well. And I also hate when people are like, I know it's your birthday and I don't want to make a big thing. It's like, well, it's going to be a big thing. Cause you just said that. But at the same time, like Lindsay, again, they were all so drunk and Lindsay had been poking at it the whole time. And I don't know. The jury's out.
No, to see that Lindsay ends the episode with another person entirely.
Luciano?
Exactly. I'm very confused. It just shows that she just couldn't care less about Austin, which we already knew, but it just, you know, signed, sealed, delivered that point. And then the fact that what she was doing with like the making out and the whatever, it's just so mean. It's a mean girl.
It was.
And it's just not.
And I hate this whole, like, it's my birthday. I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's again, you're 35. If you were 10 and you were having a birthday party at this like community pool and you wanted a piece of pizza and then to go swimming without that 15-minute break, I would say, okay, it's your birthday. Go for it. You're going to throw up later, but you'll have fun. This is like, not that, like, you're not a child.
Not that.
Speaking of the birthday party, did you hear /see that Alex was there? Like Alex, the cast member on this show?
Right. He was obviously like edited out like completely, which I'm so confused.
Okay. So somebody on the Dip community, which by the way, everybody use the promo code GWOC for 90% off your first year subscription, had a great theory that it was because he was dressed in like some type of like Native American garb that this person said, I wonder if like the show got nervous and cut him out because they didn't want people to like come after for like being insensitive.
Interesting.
Because we saw that happen on Atlanta Housewives semi-recently. And I just wonder if like, they just were like, you know what, we don't even want to get into it. But what is just so strange about it is like, then just don't feature him. But what they ended up doing was dubbing somebody saying, Alex won't be here this weekend. And then he was there.
It's very strange. They like are trying too hard, I feel like. Or they could have just said like, I don't know.
Just don't show him.
What he was wearing. Yeah, I don't know. It just was
weird. Edit him out. We had a birthday cake with Plan B on it that was just like an amorphous blob. Just do that with Alex. He already is a blob. Like,
right. It's not like anybody really missed him, let's be honest.
Isn't that the worst part? Is like, that's how, like, you wouldn't be able to just cut out Kyle Cook, you know, like you couldn't lie that Kyle Cook wasn't at a party because he's such a presence. Alex is mingling with these people and we have no idea.
He has no storyline and I'm still so confused. It has like me and I don't know. Wait,
can I tell you how, one of my guests 2 weeks ago described him, and it was that he's a Bowflex who got one wish and his wish was to come to life as a real boy.
Literally. That is absolutely perfect. Like, you're a real boy, but you literally don't do anything.
Nothing else.
You're adding to nobody. And I feel terrible, but whatever they were hoping for out of him as a cast member, it didn't land.
Mm-mm, it didn't. Also, I was kind of surprised to see Danielle get so involved in the drama this week when she was like, if you're not going to finish it, I will. And I was like, whoa.
She was completely involved. And I think that when she was like swigging that tequila, like gulping it down like it was water, I was like, okay, this all makes sense now. Yes. Like, I think you're just drunk and like wanting to.
And also the thing about like a darty that you have to remember is the sun plays such a big part in it. Like when it is hot out, you're not drinking anything else. You're dehydrated. You have like, you're tired from the sun. It is a recipe for disaster. And luckily their disaster is a gift to us.
Right.
Is there anything else, Summer House? I'll tease my interview. I had a great like 50 minute Zoom call with Danielle last week, you guys. And I have a profile coming out on her this week. And I'm saying it to hold myself accountable that profile will come out this week on The Dip. I've already told you, use promo code GWOC. You'll get exclusive content as well as access to our community, but keep your eyes peeled because this gal, she writes. I mean, I was a creative writing major, so make my parents proud, read my work. And it's going to be good. I promise. We talked about everything. I told Kelly some of it. It's good.
It's good. It's juicy. And it makes Danielle, I mean, not that I needed to like Danielle anymore, but she's just like a great girl.
Yeah. She's like, I'll just say like, she is probably the most self-aware reality star that I've ever spoken to. I think we just need more of that in this world, but then also maybe it's fun to have them be delusional. I don't know.
I wish she would rub up on Lindsay a little bit more. Wait, I loved how Paige called her diabolical.
I know, that was great. Wait, when Austin shoved the door in Paige's face and then like to help herself feel better, she calls like another gaslighting piece of crap over in Charleston, Craig. And I was like, that's not how it works, Paige.
No, that is not how it works. I don't know. There must be some like secret love potion going on between Craig and Paige because I cannot understand it. I can't get behind their like goo goo gaga love for each other, but it's definitely there. But Paige went off. Austin, and I was shook by how crazy she was.
I think that she was definitely the most sober of them all, which says a lot. And everything she said was true. When she's like, everyone knows you're a loser, I was like, say it again for the people in the back.
Everything she said was true. And I just was thinking like after this episode about how much I just like adored everything she said. I was like, she's getting great at it. All she had to do was learn lose burner. And then now she's just a whole new woman.
It is weird to me though, that like her and Hannah are like literally on tour. Like, and we're just pretending like Hannah doesn't exist anymore. And they're still like the giggly squad.
Right. Right. I know. I wonder, and I like wanted so bad to like get in on this on their podcast or something. Like, what is this doing to their friendship?
I know.
I can't imagine it's very good.
I feel like Hannah is one of those people. She's like, no, this is like the best for me. Like I made this decision and it's just like, I had to make this choice, but I'm so proud of you, Paige. And like one, you know, I'll always be here if you need me like one day when it falls apart.
Right. But in reality, Hannah went out and everybody literally hated her. And Paige is like scooped up everyone's love and
yes,
it can do no wrong. So
she can't. I mean, she can do wrong, and that's like a 180-pound Charlestonian man who sews pillows for a living. But that's she can do wrong. But beyond that, I think it's fine. Also, just something I recommend if you do watch the show, like, if you haven't seen the new episode or anything, just look at the people in the background at the birthday party, because there was one point where Andrea was at the tequila stand with some girls and there were like three women who I'm like, who forced you to be here? Like, you look like you have a gun to your head. They looked so miserable. And I don't know if it was because they were just like trying not to like make eye contact with the cameras, but they looked like they hated being there, that they hated life. They weren't dressed up at all. They were just in like a romper from Gap. And it was just like, who's niece and nephew are you that they roped you into being here? Because somebody begged you.
They were the only ones who had negative COVID tests. All of their extras, so they had to come.
And the guy in the brown romper, the brown sweatsuit romper that was like dancing all over Lindsay, and they showed him walking into the house like 15 times. And I was like, we get it. He's here.
He's here. Were they more miserable than Maya was though? Because
I think Maya just like is like, I don't like this. And there's nothing wrong with that.
She signed up for it unknowingly.
She's always watching Netflix. And something Danielle mentioned is she's like, I was shocked that they like showed that. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame her. A lot of good, there was appointment TV on last summer, like The Undoing, like we had a lot of stuff to watch, but
a lot going on. I mean, Sunday nights were packed, but I mean, I just think that probably she should have just not got on the show.
Probably. And unfortunately though, unlike Alex, they like can't cut her out completely because the numbers would be dwindling. Okay. Let's see. What else is there to discuss? Oh my God. I also want to discuss the news that has shaken the Bravo universe, which is Katie Maloney Schwartz, nay, just Katie Maloney now, and Tom Schwartz getting a divorce. The breakup, I think we all expected.
It's not a surprise, but it is shocking nonetheless.
It's like surprising because at a certain point, it's been 12 years.
Right.
We know they hate each other. We know that they actually like think the other person is the scum of the earth, but they have decided to spend their life with them. And I'm not going to throw stones at that. I mean, these are people who, for better or for worse, decided like we'll live in
the earth. I love it.
They decided we're going to live miserable together.
Right. Because I think Katie honestly likes to be miserable. It's very obvious.
Why? Oh, 100%. So I'm just curious. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but like, why does this news make me hope that we get another season of Vanderpump Rules? Because now I need to see how it plays out.
I do want to see how it plays out. And I've heard that they're like very good friends. So
that won't last.
I even heard that they're maybe still living together, which I know nothing about, but I don't really get how then hating each other and being separated, but living in the same house. I don't get how that's any different than what they've probably been doing.
100 You know, they're not sleeping in the same bed.
Never.
No.
Never have.
Tom and his moo-moos are in the guest bedroom on an air mattress, probably because they don't actually have furniture.
Literally.
But I also wonder if like it won't last them being friends. And I think that's great. If they can remain amicable, awesome. But you know, the moment, and I hope cameras are up for this one. The moment Tom like kisses a girl at a bar and Katie catches wind. And that's what's going to be interesting because like that is not drama for like these late 30s television stars. That's drama for like early 20s. So I do wonder if like, if it's going to feel like, ooh, I don't know if we want to watch this because they're so much older than they should be for this type of drama, but I'm willing to take that risk because
I think
Raquel and James, we've got Tom and Katie, we've got Lala and Rand, and then we've got Sheena and Brock, which is just a matter of time.
Oh God, that's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
But I just really, I mean, I do wonder what it's going to do to the friend group, you know, if they do not stay friends, which I'm with you, I don't think that's going to be possible in the long term, because I do really feel like, say what you will about the Vanderpump crew, they are really friends, I think. So I do think that they see each other a lot.
Yeah.
They see each other often. So I do think that that's probably going to be a little bit of a, you know, issue with
a shock.
Group. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because they're still hanging out with Stassi like regularly. I don't see Kristen as much, but.
Right. I think maybe she's not around that much.
Witches of WeHo.
Right, right. And I think that Ariana is going to be, you know, clearly on the Tom side.
Yeah. Thing, so. Wait, I wonder what's going to happen with their sandwich shop.
Yes, seriously. Were they still going? They have angel investors, allegedly.
Yeah, they also have an Instagram handle, and I think that's about it. But you know what? People have done much more with a lot less. I'm watching The Dropout right now, so.
Stop it. You're actually wrong. They have a logo, remember?
That's right. They do have a logo, too. Wait, okay. Let's talk about Jersey. Jennifer Aiden, victim or villain?
Villain, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, I do not feel that that woman has been a victim ever. I think.
Really?
Yes. No.
I disagree.
Why? Tell me.
Okay. So I think that she is acting out in such a desperate desire to escape her life. And I think that like two truths can exist. She can be a victim in having a horrible, she hates her husband. Her husband doesn't like her. Sorry. And she hates having to watch her daughter bike in their backyard alongside the pool. And she just wants to escape. I can tell it so bad. So what does she do? She escapes through other people's drama. And in turn, she ruins friendships. She creates distance amongst the group. And then she's like, I'm hurting. You did this to me, like blah, blah, blah. And she's just not doing it right. But I get why she's doing it. And I feel bad for her. With that said, she's so bad at it. And I'm like, be better. If you're going to have a fantasy where you can escape your marriage to ruin other people's, at least be good at it.
I just think that she is a complete villain that knows how to stir the pot so much so. And once she gets a reaction out of somebody, finally from her incessant pot stirring, she turns everything around on them and gaslights the situation so that she has no fault in it. And then people are made to feel bad for her. And I just am not behind it. I wish Missy G would have clocked her right in the kisser.
But that's the thing, is like no one does feel bad for her because no one likes her except for Teresa. And the only reason Teresa likes her is because she called Joe Gorga like a bitch or something, a crook. Oh, yeah. And so like that's the only reason. And I think that again, we just need to admit Teresa,
that you're a bitch boy.
Yeah. But like the thing is like Teresa loved that because she wishes she could say that. And that's why she keeps defending. It's so weird to me that we're not just admitting that Teresa hates Melissa and Melissa hates Teresa.
My jaw dropped to the floor today on my news feed when I see Teresa posted about Melissa Gorga's birthday, a picture of them. I was shook.
That
she said happy birthday to her sister-in-law, because normally she hides her in any picture. She's not even ever there.
Yeah. And I feel like I read that message and I was like, there's got to be a dig here that I'm missing, where she's like, you don't look a day over 72 or something. Like all of the work you've gotten done looks so good on you.
Or this, these are like the two pictures that Melissa asked, like, please never post or something like that. It has to be something like that. It just does. Because it's not Teresa and Jennifer, but this can't be an editing thing. Like the fact that Teresa always finds the least desirable person to die for.
Right.
I can't understand.
I know. She always does this.
Always. And it's like so crazy. But I just want to talk about the Louis of it all. Like, and there are some creepy stuff going on with Louis. I can't even look him in the face, honestly.
I can't either. Well, I think if you look Louis in the face for like longer than 10 seconds, like you'll
turn to stone.
It's like watching the video from The Ring.
That's exactly how I feel. He makes me so nervous. My like heart speeds up.
Yes. Well, and he's like always red, and I'm not, look,
so
I'm someone who sunburns and like, but I'm never that red. Even if I've been out, if I fall asleep in the sun.
He is redder than a tomato. And when he came and took those two shots right in a row,
Oh my God.
On the edge of my seat, like what is going to happen to this dude?
I, you know what? At the same time, I kind of think him and Teresa and their love bubble, I wish them well. I wish them
at
well.
At least she admitted that they're in a love bubble. I did actually appreciate that because I was like, you can't actually think this is real life for you.
I know. Well, I don't think that your thought on what she, like, that you don't have the same definition as love bubble as Teresa. Like, Teresa thinks love bubble is like, I'll kill you if you say one bad thing about my boyfriend. And like, our definition of love bubble is just like the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. Right.
But that's
right.
Not you're this. Exactly. You're hers exactly is like, right. If you penetrate my love bubble, I'll come for you.
I will come for you. And I think that, Tracy doesn't really know what she's
okay. Look, Tracy is, she's very tall. And she very just, tall. I think
tall drink of water.
She's a tall drink of water. And I think that she's poking her head into, I think she needs to come in a little softer, you know?
She's really, when she was mouthing off about their family relationship, I was like, lady.
I was like, have you seen the last 15 years of this show? Like,
not a good idea.
Imagine if Teresa was like, I should be nice to my fam. Oh, you're right, Tracy. Okay. You know what? Wrap up the cameras. We're good here. Everything's fixed. No, Jersey was built on the blood relations of these people. Like, we need this drama.
Have you not seen the montage of Joe Gorga, like,
tackling,
literally
tackling Judy J, and like with the hair, getting the hair dye all over. This is like, you are here right now, Tracy, because these two hate each other. So
shut up. Don't even talk about it.
Nana and Nono, like, they didn't die for no reason.
I literally cannot handle that. I mean, I wish that, like, we just had a little bit more. I just think that their family dynamic is so fascinating to so many that I almost wish that it was just like, I just could watch them, but I think they hate each other so much that it just wouldn't be a good show.
I agree. We need Marge to just kind of break it up with like a quick quip about.
I love Marge. I love Marge's secretary or whoever that is that she hangs out with. I love it. But I'm going to say, I think her accent is getting stronger and stronger.
She's putting it on
purpose. Mm. Yes. And it's kind of weird.
I have a theory. I think it's her teeth.
Sure.
I think they're settling.
Could be.
I think it's just kind of like, you know, when a house, like an old house, creaks a little.
Right. It's like that.
I think that, like, that's kind of what's happening. It's just kind of like the bones are settling in and we're getting some weird inflections and stuff like that. What else is, do you watch anything you want to recommend to the listeners?
Well, I did just finish Love is Blind.
Oh, welcome.
So I'm new to the Love is Blind world. I don't know why it took me so long, but I did just finish it. And what I was going to equate looking at Louis to is looking at Shane.
Oh my God. There is similar like vibes.
He's and like the shaking eyes constantly and the eyes are googly and it's very alarming, really.
Yeah. As Simon Van Campen said, the eyes are a poppin'.
Yes, the eyes are a poppin', exactly. As far as anything else that I've watched.
Wait, who do you think is like, who was the most doomed couple on Love is Blind from the get-go?
Well, honestly, so I guess I would say I was taken down a journey. I won't lie, because I guess I would say at first the most doomed couple was shaken deeply. But then now, like, looking back, it seems like Natalie and Shane were just like not it for each other.
Yeah, all the signs were there. I mean, yeah, I agree. I will say, do you know that Shake is dating, has somebody new in his life?
A new woman? I saw that on Instagram. Yes.
And I just am like, oh, girl.
Right. Shake is not, I mean, there was just like something that happened off camera, I feel like, not to mention Shane and Natalie's fight. But in addition to that, it seemed like everyone had like a certain vibe. And at their weddings, their vibe was completely different. Mm-hmm. And Shake became the common villain amongst them all.
Well, I mean, I think it was because he literally continuously said, I don't like her. I think she's like, I'm not attracted to her, blah, blah, blah.
Right. But I just think that between the show and the reunion, like something must have like gone
yeah.
down.
Yeah. There was a lot that went down. Actually, he just like, I think he thinks he's like the truth sayer and like can speak, you know, the truth while everyone else is just doing it for like the followers. But in turn, then everyone hates him. And then
also, when he said he was attracted to Vanessa, I literally almost died.
Oh my God. I know. I think Nick Lachey almost open hand slapped him. Just right over Shane. Okay. Wait, I do want to just say the show that they teased at the end of the reunion, The Ultimatum. Guys, you are not ready for this show. It is insane.
You got to see it.
I also want to say Bridgerton season 2 comes out on Friday, and I will talk all about it next week. I've seen it, and I will say I started season. Did you watch season 1?
Of course.
Yeah. So I watched season 1, not at all knowing what I was getting myself into. And I was really into it. I was really delighted, which I think a lot of people were. And then season 2, I went into it with higher expectations, and it completely like, it was not at all what I expected, but in like a good way. And I think that that is a testament to how good the season is. I'm really like, the chemistry between the two leads is great. And I just think it's going to be, I hope this weekend is like nice wherever you are weather-wise, because it's like, watch Bridgerton, have the windows open. It's like springy. Everyone's dressed up in like pretty gowns that we'll never wear. Thank God. Thank God. One thing I'll say about Bridgerton is the way that the boobs are not always cute. In the dress. Yeah. It's like only like 2 inches. I'm like,
not cute.
Be pouring out. But yeah, Bridgerton is on Friday.
Is there songs in there? Like there was this.
Oh, there are songs.
Oh, I love it.
There are songs. And they're so good. It makes you want to like just go to a ball.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I can't wait.
Meanwhile, it's like we go to like a wedding and the song that gets everyone to the dance floor isn't like a string quartet version of Material Girl. It's like WAP.
Hey, that's a good one.
It's a good song.
My best friend, I like.
It's a good song. Okay, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me. I'm glad we got to talk about Bravo and, you know, just catch up, spring, Bridgerton.
My pleasure. I would be on the podcast daily if I could.
Okay, well, I want everybody to just remember you can go to thedip.com, use the promo code GWOC for 90% off your first year subscription. You can join me. You can join all of the people that have been on this podcast with little chats about pop culture, lifestyle stuff, relationship stuff. If you need relationship advice, we've got a place for you. And it's like anonymous too. So you can choose a username that like nobody will know it's you, in case you have like a peeping Thomasina in the household. And until next week, I hope everyone has a great rest of your week, and cheers.